everybody. Welcome to Prosperity Game Class number 4. Who's here?
Pat's here.
Hi, Pat.
He's here.
Hello, Judy.
And Nancy's here.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, honey.
Oh.
Becky's here.
Hi, Becky.
Hi.
Ooh, that's right. We're going to hear from Becky.
Judy. Nancy. Who else just joined us?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea. Welcome. I just heard another beep.
Hi there, it's Maura.
Hey, Maura.
Good morning.
Hello, Maura.
Hi. Who's that?
It's Nancy.
Nancy, you've been kicking butt on those gigs of yours.
It's good to have you on the call.
Good. Yeah, I'm here.
Eva might be a couple minutes late. She's on a radio interview.
So, yay.
I know. She's been doing lots of those lately.
Ah.
This is Pat.
Yeah.
I can definitely feel the shift in energy from what we're doing. I think my thing is that is I'm still looking at all the negativeness around me and, you know, and other people, and not necessarily negativeness, but just other people being set in their ways and not seeing what we're going through. And I that's something that I need to work on, is just stay with what I'm doing on this path.
Okay. I would say start looking for the flexibility. If you all get on your radars about looking for the humor, I noticed the other day, I even wrote an article on it, which was really funny, because it seems like I catch myself doing the thing I just said not to do. And I was writing an article about, you know, how we give people titles, and we pigeonhole them, like, this person is this way. And then, of course, that's the way they always show up, whether it's a good title or a bad title. If we say someone's disorganized, that's the way that we experience them. Or if we always say, oh, so-and-so is always late, they will always be late for you, specifically. I gave somebody a title in my head of, like, they won't show up because they said, you know, oh, we'll do this tomorrow. And I'm thinking, you're right. No sooner, 10 minutes later, did the phone ring. Okay, you want to go do this? And I just sat there shocked, and I just started laughing because it's like, yeah, don't pigeonhole someone. And, you know, I left it open. I wasn't as attached as normal. I was like, great, if we go. If we don't, no worries. But be open to looking for how people show up the way that you want them to, and even if it's just a tiny smidgen different than normal, even if it's not full-blown flexible, keep looking for the proof about having people show up the way that you want them to. Before we get started today, I just wanted to kind of do a check-in. Is there anybody that's burning, yearning to say something, whether it's something fabulous happened or, hey, I need coaching?
I do.
Okay.
Becky.
Yes?
I've been dying for this all week.
Okay.
When I had posted about all my credit card debt and everything that I was going through, I was in such a place of fear and anxiety at that point. I mean, I was literally shaking when I was typing. It was that bad.
Mm.
When you had told me to turn it over to a higher power. And I was like, I'm going to do that. So I did that. And I did a placement, and I felt really good. When I went to bed, I was feeling a lot better. One thing I did, you said to, you know, let go of the money, you know, issue. So I was just flooding myself with gratitude and flooding, you know, just love. I mean, I was just beaming love everywhere. It was really cool. And then I decided that, you know, I have this universal trust fund. So I wanted to make some withdrawals. In my prayers, I was making withdrawals to about $20,000. And then I decided, I don't like feeling this anxiety and this stress, and I just want it to be gone. So I told my universal team, just do whatever it takes. I'm not going to worry about it. You just do the work. Just make it go. When I went to sleep, this went on all night long, and my husband thought I was nuts, I'll tell you. I kept waking up after I would have these dreams, and it would just be, I would sit bolt up like bed and just gasped, like, oh my God, that was so cool, it was so awesome. And it was like I was being guided through different experiences. But I remembered them as soon as I woke up, but then they disappeared just like that. I was being guided, oh, go back to sleep, we're not done with you yet. So I would go back to sleep, and this kept going on and on and on. Until I finally, when I woke up in the morning, I woke up so peaceful and rested, and it was just like I have not felt in, I don't know if I've ever felt that way. I said to myself when I woke up, I am more of who I am because of the credit card debt. I have developed myself into more of who I want to be because of it. And the only part of my dream, the dreams that I was being guided through that I remember, was they took me into this room, which I knew was a room that I hold within my body. It's within me, and it was just black as could be, pitch black, couldn't see anything. And I knew that this was where I was holding all that guilt and anxiety and stress of all of the burdens I've been carrying. I walked in, and I knew that that's what it was, and then all of a sudden it was just like gazillion lights went on, and everything was exposed, and it was the brightest light I've ever seen. It was gone. And they showed me some of the purchases that I had made, things that I have in my life now that I didn't have before. I was getting rid of the negative and focusing on positive. You know, I saw some of the purchases, some things that I have in my home. But most importantly, what I had seen was the journey that I've been on. I saw where I was at the beginning, really not even having a clue about all the spirituality, this development, and seeing where I am now, and just deciding that I would not want to go back to where I was. This credit card debt brought me to where I am now, and I'm just grateful for it.
I want to acknowledge that this is the key to everything when any of you get in resistance, is to be able to get into a place of peace without anything on the outside changing first. And I know sometimes it's so incredibly difficult. It's so hard to get our eye off. It's so compelling and enticing to look at the problem. But if you can get in a state of mind where all is really well and you know you're tapped into something much bigger than just what's going on here in this present moment in this room or what I think is happening in my life out there, and you can get in a feeling good place, everything on the outside will change. It's just the perfect place for you to be. Like, really, all is well, and you have lots of guidance. And I'm just so, I would be thrilled if I were you to go from such a place of disconnection to such a place of connect. And to be able to tell the scary truth, because whatever is scary, by the way, whenever we just go, you know, plop it out there, a lot of times, even if it's just on paper, there's a lot of relief in that. So I just want to acknowledge you for your courage. Looks like it worked for you. So how are you feeling right now?
Wonderful. Free.
Excellent. Because you are. So what's the key for you to stay in this connected place? What's going to assist you in staying there?
I think to keep delegating, because I've noticed I've been making a real habit of it every day. I've been delegating everything. If I'm one for putting the world on my shoulders, and once you do that so long, you get into places where you're just scared stiff. I think just by delegating, that will really help me a lot, because it already has.
Excellent.
Let everybody else take care of it.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing all that. The lesson of the day is about being an extreme creator.
This is Maura. This may lead in what we're going to talk about today. A lot of unexpected things have happened in the last week in terms of just my daily life. I am in a situation where my car kind of went out and I couldn't go to work, but then I found a ride to work. And the person giving me the ride, his car went out too, you know. But when we got there an hour late, I still made a lot of money. It was just a really great day. But my question, and maybe it comes up with extreme creation, is I'm in a situation where there's a little bit of an urgency to get a new car. But the point is, my mom's offering to help me to get a Honda, which is not the dream car. It's not the ultimate. So I guess my question is, how do you get excited about something that's not the ultimate but still feel grateful? Because I've had a lot of conflicting feelings of having to rely on my mother to co-sign, it being a Honda, not a Mercedes. What's the greater thought to reach for in situations like that?
I personally wouldn't make a move on the Honda unless I was absolutely willing and I could get excited about the Honda. And I wouldn't move forward on it at all.
And I'm sort of borderline. I kind of could get excited. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My sense is, go back to the essence of what you're looking for. I would let go of Honda, Mercedes, let go of being that specific around it, and just go back to the essence of what I want. The kind of car I want has these features to it. This is how I want to feel when I'm in it. This is how I want it to look. If you want it to be a certain color, that's okay too. Be open. Now, you may think that you're in a time crunch and you don't have time to, like, take your time with this, but I would still pretend like you had all the time in the world. And then be open to something else even showing up besides a Honda or a Mercedes.
Okay.
That's only what I would do.
Well, that's interesting because what happened was I went from feeling like it had to be replaced when it wouldn't start to a day of shopping under those circumstances to find out it doesn't have to be replaced right away, but it's probably a good idea to start looking, to sitting in a dealership and having the dealer look at my credit and going, oh, there's nothing we can do without your mom's help, and then a lot of issues coming up of that, that bad feeling of, ew.
Be open to the financing, too. Go for the kind of financing that would feel good. Like, what's the essence of even financing? I want to do this on my own if that's what feels best. There's no right or wrong. You just got to go to what would feel really best.
Okay, so I got to get back to basics then on something like this.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
This is Andrea. I also have a car situation.
Let's call it the opportunity, shall we?
Thank you. I have a car opportunity. I had a Volvo, and I went to this place called swapalease.com and had somebody take over my lease of my Volvo to reduce my monthly expenses. And then I found a car that I wanted, which is a Chrysler Pacifica, and I'm supposed to get the car this Friday. And I'm very excited about getting the car. The kicker is there's two features missing, well, three, that I want, that this car doesn't have. And so I'm, like, teetering between taking over this lease from this guy and actually going to the dealership and seeing if I can get exactly what I want.
Okay. So why wouldn't you go for exactly what you want?
Because I feel like I've been working with this guy who has this car for almost 2 months now trying to get this deal to work out, and I guess I feel like I would let him down and been leading him along and
forget about it. I'm not kidding, because we go through this guilt trip. Wow, he spent so much time with me, and, you know, he thinks I'm going to be buying. But you know what? You still get to have what you want. Let's going back to the being selfish part.
Okay.
Because, first of all, you are going to do something that's not going to feel completely 100% good to you. And therefore, as much as he might be happy in the moment, it's not going to be 100% for him either. And this is co-creating. So if you decide it's not a perfect fit for you, it's okay. He's co-creating this with you. It's not all yours, okay? I mean, we do all take responsibility for ourselves, but in the same moment, we take responsibility for ourselves and not others. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to also take care of him, and you don't need to do that. And there may be something in his vibration that has him working with someone that then decides they're going to do something else, and that's for him to work out, but it's not for you. I also wanted to say something, too, about the Mercedes versus the, was it a Honda?
Uh-huh.
You can make the decision to feel good about the Honda on your way to your Mercedes.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
So if you don't feel like your vibration is not in alignment with Mercedes right now, and it doesn't sound like it is, then be okay that you're on the way, rather than, oh, well, I'm settling.
So, yeah,
so
that was
a difference in perspective and a difference in your perception of what you're doing. It's when people say, yes, I want to be a millionaire, but their belief system doesn't get them there, so we start with something they can believe that's excitable, that's stretchable, but that then, and because once they get to that, that's the first rung of the ladder. You can keep going up the ladder. You can go to a Rolls Royce after your Mercedes.
You know? Here's another angle. Sometimes, if you call something the dream car, the dream house, even that term makes it seem out of reach. It's just a Mercedes. It's not a big deal.
Right.
And I'm not meaning like it's not a big deal, like of course you want it, but it's like doesn't have to be even something that's that big of a deal vibration. It could be, yeah, I'm going to get a Mercedes. It's the car I want. I always get Mercedes. Love Mercedes.
Right.
Versus the dream car, the ultimate car, the car I've always wanted. Like, it's so
out there.
Out there.
Somewhere. In the mist.
I think that any time we're making a purchase like a car or a house, we've got to just get so connected to the feeling of it and that you get to have what you want versus getting so pinned down, attached to the thing, and get excited about it and be really open. This is not to say it doesn't happen with everything. It's just that so many of us want specific cars and specific houses, and I am one of those people included, and that we get so attached, and there's so many bazillions of ways for it to come in, and we just have no idea. But if we're real clear on the essence versus how it's got to come and it's got to be this and that, we might miss the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So just be real, real excited and real, real open that you get to have it all away. There's somebody that I know very well who recently wanted a BMW, didn't get the exact one that they wanted. I hear about it every single time. I have a BMW too, and I happen to love mine. And so it's constantly, I should have got that other car. I should have got that other car because it's what they really wanted. They were set a lane, and it's just never been quite right. So you either get totally settled before you do it, or you absolutely, I always say go for what you want. And so what if you have to wait another month or 2 months? Why not? It'll be worth it. Promise. Buying anything out of a place of lack or stress is set up for so-so-ness versus wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
That's like the story of my Gina Bina purse. Gina Bina had a purse, and I really liked it a lot. And I couldn't find one like hers, and so I found one that was kind of like hers, and I got it, and that didn't work, so I found another one that was kind of like hers, and I got it. I had like four, and it still wasn't hers, and she finally gave hers to me. And I'm still, because this was years ago, I'm still using that thing. It had my name on it, man.
So, yeah, just be willing to really get what you want. And, you know, Maura, you're going to get the car that you
are. No kidding.
So when you're really clear, the universe will serve it up in a way that fits all the pieces. You'll get all the things that you want, all the attributes of the car. I always just always hold for any big purchase, let it fit comfortably within my budget. Just let it all work out so that I don't feel tripped up by the payment of whatever it is that I'm buying. I'm really general about things, and it seems to work for me. Oh, it'll all work out is my basic attitude. So if you can just get behind that, every piece of this puzzle will be supported. And this goes for anything, any project that you're going after, anything that you're wanting to manifest that seems a little bit out of reach, all the pieces will work, and you just hold, let universe, let all the pieces fit perfectly for me. Andrea, was it you with the other car?
Yes.
And it's the same thing, it goes back to Eva said, but let's just look at a general sense. All these pieces will work out. For all you know, you could pull out of the deal with this other person. Somebody else might give them more money that they're asking for, and it'll end up being more perfect for them, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't assume that it's going to be a bad thing. Assume always win-win for everybody. Even when we can't see it in the moment, it's always a win.
Okay.
Always. Good things will happen for this person, too, and it's none of your business, by the way, to follow up on it or make sure it works out for them. We are guilt-free here.
And selfish.
Okay. Extreme creating. This is very similar to pre-paving that all wonderful things fall in your path, except for when you're being an extreme creator, oh, you're just making it so very good. It's like, not only do I want this kind of car, I want all the bells and whistles because I get to. So it's having a lot of fun and making it as outrageous and delightful and joyful as you want.
So scripting, actually this is a very cool thing to do that Gina used to be very, very religious about, and I do it as I'm inspired to do it. So I don't do this on a regular basis, but man, talk about being in the flow. When it happens, and it's just like this instant download. It's really, you are the star of your show. You are the center of your universe, and you get to create your life or any segment of it in the way that you want to. When I was younger, I always had this fantasy place that I lived in. Even as young as kindergarten, they would write notes back to my mom. She lives in her own little world. And I have decided that's a good thing. But in that own little world, I always saw myself as the star of my show, as the star of my life. And I would be doing something as mundane as, this is in my teen years, as driving somewhere, and I would fantasize that, you know, the camera was on me and the spotlight was on me and the drama music was going, and it was all about me, man.
A future reality star.
Reality show.
For all these mundane things or news.
Yes, yes. This is really what scripting is about, creating the way you want to see your life unfold. And you're the star, you're the director, You're the editor, you're the producer, you're all of the pieces. So you may as well create it like you want it. And it's the same as journaling, except that in this way, you're really writing the story, and we call it scripting. This is an Abraham process because it's creating your script for your movie of your life. Bring in, obviously, all of your senses. Feel it, and you be in it as if you are in the movie, not in the theater watching the movie. There's a big difference. Let's do a script. It'll be a verbal script, but let's create one here in the moment. Come on!
All right, who laughed? It was a man's voice. Who laughed?
Alan.
Alan! Busted!
Go, Alan.
Okay.
So, Alan, this is supposed to be easy.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be fun. So if you were the center of your universe and this is your movie, what is it that the movie's about? Let's start there.
First thing that comes to mind is enjoying the experience of being a conscious, deliberate creator. An allower.
Okay.
In a really, really excellent way.
Okay. And so as this movie unfolds, what's the scenario? Yeah. So we're coming to see this movie about you being the conscious, deliberate creator.
Yep. Scenario is an internal feeling of peace and confidence and me being the center, the source.
Okay, and boy, you are really radiating that. And as you're radiating that, it's affecting other people and making an impact out there. So give an example of a day. What would a day look like that you're being in this place and the interactions that you're having with others or not, whatever it is for you?
I would be sensing how I stimulate that same awareness, whether it's conscious or unconscious in the other person, that they're...
So where are you? Who is the other person?
I'd be at the gym. I'd be with my friends. I'd be with my boyfriend. And I would be seeing in their eyes when they look at me that spark that they're feeling in me. That's just that sense of magic.
Okay.
And knowing that they're kind of like a vibration. It's a similar vibration.
So let's pick one of those people, like a client or your boyfriend or a friend, into a particular scene.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So my friend Jeff and I have been listening to the Abraham tapes, and we're both really resonating with each other on this level that's really sort of unseen. It's really not so much about outside stuff. It's about us talking and sharing about our internal experience.
Okay, so now let's take that situation. Phenomenal connection you now have at such a deeper level than you ever thought before. The two of you are resonating at that level, and now you're writing a letter to someone you haven't seen for about a year. This is going to be the script. And you're going, oh, my God, you just won't believe what's been going on in my life this year. Now, what would you be saying to them about this situation?
I would say I just deposited $50,000 into the bank. And
okay, now say it like you mean it. In other words, I want you to get the emotions in there. I want you to feel it. I want you to be in there. You've gotten the $50,000.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
$50,000 is great. It's more how I did it and why I did it.
Okay.
So I just got $50,000 would be nice, but it's because I consciously chose to do that.
And how cool is that? Absolutely.
And that is the most awesome thing, is because I deliberately decided to have that experience, and I stayed in vibrational harmony with that and felt my way to it, and it was really, really simple. All I had to do was to stay with feeling good. The elegance of it and the simplicity of it is I didn't have to figure out anything. All I had to do was stay with what felt great, and that was my guidance. And I would be telling them about this internal guidance system that really is the most exciting thing to me, that I don't have to figure out any of this, that it knows from a higher perspective what's the absolute best way for me to get there, and staying with what feels good is my path to that. It's a vibrational path. That's how I got the $50,000 in the bank, and I'm on that path.
And how does it feel to be on that path?
I'm not sure I can figure words for it. Freeing, powerful, peaceful, calm.
Okay, see, there you go. The way that this is coming across sounds very grounded and very peaceful, very calm. There's a sense of relief, but definitely the freedom.
Yeah, there's relief in it, too.
Is it? Okay.
I'm so glad to not have to figure things out anymore.
Okay.
And it's like you're masterful.
Yeah, it's being okay with having my own personal power.
Ooh,
that
yes.
I don't have to explain to anyone. I don't have to justify to anyone.
Right.
I feel like I've been given back to myself in a way that I can't even explain.
Okay. That's the energy that you're sitting in. And when you're doing a script, it's like you're in it. You can feel it. It's like, I can relax. I don't have to go effort this anymore. It's a new and a wonderful, powerful path that you're on. That is one example of a script.
So, you know, one thing that we could do right now is, Sherry, you could tell us your story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My story about how I got $35,000?
No, yes. Let's just say you went bigger than $35,000, let's say $50,000.
Mm. Okay. You want me to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was this fabulous woman.
You're doing great.
Okay, I went to Taos, New Mexico, for a writer's retreat, and became really inspired and miraculously produced all the makings of a bestseller within 7 days. I blew their socks off. And a person who happened to be there heard my story and worked for a publisher. And they gave me, this is kind of fun, gave me a, whatever you call it on the front end.
Advance?
An advance, yeah. It's that real fancy word that pumped me up. Gave me an advance of $100,000. They were so convinced it was an incredible bestseller. And then Oprah read it, and I was on her store, on her show, and my calendar was full from then on out as a speaker.
How were you feeling about all this?
I had two feelings. A little embarrassed that I'm playing so silly on the phone. For some reason, that felt real embarrassed for just a minute, but also excited. And then there's a piece of me that wants to roll my eyes, if you want the honest answer to that.
Oh, we've got good news for you.
Okay.
First of all, what you just did was not silly. It was probably the smartest thing you've done all day.
Okay.
Okay, it was probably the thing that has created more force and more feeling about the money.
Yeah, I feel it in my soul.
So that's not silly, and I totally want to acknowledge you for doing it, even if you felt silly. The second thing I want to say is, watch for little subliminal things that come up in your fantasy. You said the word store into the show for Oprah, and I thought, what if Sherry did have her own store with all these things in it that she's producing? How cool would that be? The third thing I want to tell you is a very good friend of ours, Rich Fetke, as a first-time author, did get a $100,000 advance on his book through Simon & Schuster.
Not only that, but they took his book, hardback, paperback, and audio, which was unheard of for a new author. They did it all at the same time.
He was just very clear. He's been clear ever since I've known him about his plan and what he wanted to create. And he was just very focused. So
it can be done. It can be done.
If you can do it, you can do it. And let me tell you a little story about him, because I think this is really great about inspiration and shoulds, like looking for the joy. Part of his, and I think he might even tell part of the story in his book, which is called Extreme Success. He was trying to write a book with his wife, Kathy, on the power of partnership. What was funny is it was becoming so hard that they started quarreling while they're trying to create the stuff for the book. Now, let me tell you, these two get along fabulously. They get along great. And what was happening is, as their agent was shopping the book, everybody said, you know, it's okay, but no, we're not going to take it because it's just, there's no punch to it. So finally, him and his agent went out for lunch one day, and Rich was talking about all the extreme sports he does. He skydives, he rock climbs, he bungee jumps. He's just always been into extreme sports. He was in the X Games, and the agent was noticing how alive he was coming when he was talking about these sports. And he says, why don't you write about that? And that's what he did, and that's how he got picked up. So when he was trying to force it, it wasn't working. They kept submitting it, wasn't being accepted. And then he starts pouring out this book from his true joy, And that's what happened. So just another reminder about not forcing it.
Right.
So what does all that do for you?
It's pretty powerful. I'm crying. I don't know what that feels powerful.
I would say you just created a release, which is now going to create room for you to have more vision around this.
So for each of you, it's to create the script around any given area of your life that you want to see and how you want to see it unfold, and really look at it as being in it. Like explaining it like it happened a year ago is a great way to do it. I found for a lot of my clients that if I can take them there, then it's easier for them sometimes to get into it, because now it's already happened. They just need to put it down on paper and explain the ride. And boy, what a ride it was. Any questions about scripts, scripting?
This is Andrea. I don't really have a question, but it just makes me think of all the people that send out those Christmas letters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like that, telling them what happened over the year, only it's really cool, hot stuff.
Wouldn't it be fun to put one out now for next
year?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yes.
This is what will happen this year.
The scripting was my way of creating my business plan for the year,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
I looked back, the visualization of I'm on a cruise ship and it's early morning, I feel the breeze on my face, I'm having my favorite latte, and it's so quiet and peaceful out here. Most of the guests are still asleep. I snuggle up into my chair and I watch the sunrise. I mean, just get into that whole place. And then as you're sitting there thinking about, my gosh, what an incredible year I just had. And here's how it unfolded. And then you write it. It's a great thing to do right now. I recommend it.
If you come across the point when you're scripting, because I used to do this every morning, so there was lots of opportunities to notice what happens when I scripted. And sometimes it would take me into a very far away, just deeply connected, magical place. And sometimes I would try to script about stuff that I had a charge on, and it wouldn't work because I was just had a negative charge, or I might be worried about it. So what I would notice is, as I'm writing, if there came a point of resistance, I would actually script about whatever that point of resistance was about. So let's say I'm scripting about money, and at that point maybe there was money issues. I had resistance about like how the money was going to come in or some other piece of it. I would actually make up a script about that one piece. It would also clue me into kind of pinpoint where exactly is the resistance, and it would help me identify it so I could let go. Does that make sense?
Were you scripting for the day or for the...
Nope, I would just make a... Sometimes I would script for the day, and what I would do is, it was my process just to get like in a cool place for the day, or I might just script about something I've been wanting, and I would make it really specific. I would do it either way, depending on the day. And I still do. It's like I pick a process to do. I either pick this process to do, I either script, or I do the next process that we're going to talk about, 68 seconds.
One of the things you can do with scripts is you can actually script for other people, which is really fun. And there's an example of that in your manual, where I did this for a friend of Gina and I, who at that time was doing her own reality show, which was called The Dream Show. I had a download one, and I went, oh my gosh, I think I'm just going to do this. I actually created that script. I was sent it out on email to Gina and Kathy. I didn't preface it with anything. I just sent it as if it had really happened. Gina, she was like, oh my gosh. She says, I read this thing, and I was like, I can't believe Kathy made the front paper. I've got to go get a paper. And then the more she read, the more she realized that I was scripting for Kathy.
You guys are so fun.
We live in our own fantasy world. But you can do it for other people as well, and it's really nice. Like if you've got a group, if you've got a little mastermind that you work with or something like that, or just a friend, and you're supporting each other and going after your dreams, it's a really fun thing to do for each other.
What's most important about scripting, and why I used to choose to do it, this is like the what if up game. There's nothing about it that needs to be based in any kind of reality. I mean,
mm-mm.
If you want, you know, you could script that you tripped over on the front porch a suitcase full of money, and it was all yours, and it wasn't stolen. And you get to make it up. Sometimes I would write the funkiest stuff just so I'd be laughing while I was writing it, because I'm like, oh, this is so funny. Wouldn't that be cool? What would be the coolest thing that could happen in the most outrageous way that I'd be laughing on my ass, you know, when it realized itself?
By the way, you notice that the process, like all of them, is to shift your energy, bring it into alignment with what you want. So when you're in that place of outrageousness and fun and laughing, relax. It's all you needed to do. That's all you needed to do. I remember when Gina and I were in another women's group that we would get on the phone and talk about our dreams, and we would do a lot of the act as if as we were talking in the same way that the script works. At the time, Gina and I had our radio show, the Gina and Eva show, and I was talking about how we were on billboards and everywhere, and as I was talking, I went, oh, my God, a bus just went by, and they've got us on the side. They finally did it. It's the Gina and Eva show, and it's on all of the buses in San Francisco. And I had people from that call that lived here saying, you know, I haven't seen one of them yet. And I'm going, oh, my God. That is fun. So that's scripting. Just play with that this week. It can be your year, it can be your week, it can be just one segment of your life. Let's say you're looking for your perfect relationship. No, how does it look? What were you doing? I was just visiting the flower shop, and this guy over there smiled at me, and then the next thing I know, we're sitting next to each other, we're fighting over a cat. I mean, just build your story. Have fun with it.
The one thing, too, I want to say about scripting is it is fun to do it out, you know, it is fun to do it out loud, and you can.
Yes.
And one of the powerful things about it when you're writing, though, but there's just so much less chance of some distraction coming in, and it's a really great point of focus in your writing. So the more you can do it in writing, the better, and I just think it's a really fun process. It doesn't matter if you're actually writing. You could type it if you want, but we'd love to see some of those scripts flying around email.
Yeah, totally. Also, the nice thing about having it written is you can go back to it later, particularly if you're not feeling good and or about something, and you go back and you read and went, oh, my gosh. And then sometimes you can add to it. So it can be like a little living organism if you allow it to.
This is Pat. I'm going to start scripting before I answer the phone.
There you go.
Like wow, this is something. Oh, this is some kind of bonus program or some kind of wonderful gift for me or something. Who, no matter, you know, who knows.
You won the publisher's claim.
I should get ready for that.
See that? That's good. I should get ready for that. I like that.
Hey, you know, another way might look like gratitude and appreciation journals. You could make one up that's all the things for what you're appreciating as if they've already happened.
Yeah.
All right. Next process. That was the macro. Now we go to the micro.
68 seconds.
All right, 68 seconds. I like this one because I miss instant gratification myself. This one, it's an absolute powerful, powerful process. And this process is really about picking any subject and flowing pure, positive energy towards it for 17 seconds without any negativity coming in. 17 seconds, for whatever reason, don't ask me, the reason water freezes at 32 degrees, at 17 seconds is when one thought actually combusts with another thought. So as you're holding your thoughts, depending on how you're feeling about what you're thinking about, whether it's positive or negative, at the 17-second point, it starts to combust and attract other thoughts similar to it. So the process is to be very deliberate about thinking about something for 17 seconds of pure positive thought. And at that first 17 seconds, continue thinking on for a second 17 seconds where it then will combust with other thoughts. By the time you've done this for the fourth set of 17 seconds, which will be a total of 68 seconds, thought begins to combust into reality or begins the physical manifestation. Now, according to Abraham, 17 seconds of pure positive energy is the equivalent of 2,000 action hours. So if you're wanting to set your day up and segment intend, I highly recommend doing it this way and getting things lined up, things that you couldn't possibly line up, things like traffic flowing the way you want it to flow, those kinds of action kind of things that we can't physically do ourselves, but that can happen at a universal level. The second set of 17 seconds is the equivalent of 20,000 action hours. The third is equivalent to 200,000 action hours, and then the 68-second point is the equivalent of 2 million action hours. And you can see how this can come into play. Let's say if you're flying somewhere and you've got lots of connecting flights, you can't physically, no matter what you do, organize traffic and weather flights are going to take off on time or that you're going to be bumped. None of that stuff can happen from your level, but if you set the 68-second process in place, you can literally have it happen. The catch is 68 seconds of pure positive energy. So what that means is that if you're going through this process and you're thinking thoughts about something, and about 40 seconds into it, a thought comes in like, yeah, right, this, who are you kidding? You begin again. So as you're getting used to doing this process, it may take you a lot longer than 68 seconds to get to the point where you can do 68 seconds of pure positive energy. It might take half an hour, it could take an hour, it could take 15 minutes. But as you get better at it, it becomes easier. And by the way, if you're actually writing it in the same way that you're doing the scripting, that sometimes will help keep the pure thoughts there because you keep focused on what you're writing. This is what Gina was talking about. That's your most powerful point of focus is when you write. So if it helps you not to have other thoughts coming in while you're doing this kind of process, write, 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 or key if it's the keyboard.
This is one of those ones, if this equals that many action hours, why the heck wouldn't each of us do this every single day?
Exactly. But it can feel like work if you've got negative thoughts that keep jumping in.
And it can be, it takes more than four tries to get 17 seconds of concentration.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, ma'am. Absolutely. It can take a whole day, depending on what charges you have on something. But you do get better at it. Highly recommend start with some easy things first. Get a sense of what it's like and how it feels, and also what you notice starts to show up.
I used to set a timer in practice. I used to do this on my walks, and I would just laugh my butt off because sometimes it would take me up to a half an hour to get it, where I had, 68 seconds of pure positive energy, and I just laugh my butt off because it's so easy to get distracted. So I'm going to recommend that you actually sit in a chair and just, like, try to be still and, get all distractions out of the room when you're first trying it and just laugh your butt off if it takes you a while to get it, because it is pretty funny how easy it is for all these thoughts to come in. And when you get a grasp of how easy it is for thoughts to come in, imagine how this happens to you all day long.
All the time. It's a great process in awareness.
Mm-hmm. So the last process of the day is called segment intending. All you're doing with this is looking at each segment of the day. Pat alluded to it earlier when she said, I'm going to start doing scripting before each phone call. That's how segment intending looks. It looks like, okay, I'm going to get out of bed this morning. What do I want to have happen in my first segment of the day? Well, I want to go upstairs, and I want to eat some really yummy French toast, and I'm going to sit down and eat my coffee and read the paper undisturbed. Then with my first client of the day, and I'm going to coach them, here's what I want to be the outcome of that. And then for lunch, I want to go out to lunch and meet my boyfriend. And then after that, so you go through each segment of the day, and you can do it all at once in the morning, like really looking at, okay, here's how I want this segment to go, and then this segment to go, and then this segment to go, or you can do it right before each thing.
This just happened before this phone call for me. This is where you can use it in the moment. I had a radio interview. And I got on the show, and of course they get you on early so you can hear what's going on the show before you come on. I was listening to this guy, his whole subject, it was like a lecture. This is the host. It was like a lecture, and it was all about alternative medicine and health and the right nutrients and supplements that you need to take and what things have now been put on the list that are cancerous. And I'm thinking, how does this have to do with what he's about to bring me on for? I started going down. And I was thinking, oh, my God, this is so not what I'm about. It was like so the opposite of what I'm about. And he's going to then bring me on, and they told me before the show it's going to be about how do you empower people as they're getting older and aging. Well, that's right up my alley. I can talk that. But that's not where he was going with it. So I immediately noticed what I was doing with my energy, and I went, wait a minute, what is it that I want here? I want it to end up being fresh. It's a fresh new thing that people will pick up. They'll like what they're hearing. Well, here's what happened. It ended up they had a hard time hearing me. It was on Voice America. It was internet streaming, and for whatever reason, it was hard to hear. They had me on. It was only going to be a 15-minute segment, but as I was talking, he decided that this was an interesting topic and that he wants to bring me on for a full hour on his live radio show, which happens in an hour. So I'm going to be back on the show, him on his live show, in 1 hour, and I'm going to be the only guest there. So
cool.
That was my intending, because I noticed where I was going, and I completely flipped it. That's the power of this stuff.
Good job, Eva. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, and just take it now. Use it in your segments of every day, because I want to hear on the email, whoa, this is what happened. Here's how this happened. I mean, you guys are already so powerful. I think you're using it without even knowing it. Any questions, comments? Okay. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so it is time. It is time to move and groove and keep us posted as what these are doing. Share your scripts if you start to write them. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye, guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.